Rebbe explains the four children, the four sons, he gives a historical explanation. He wants to say the first child, the wise child, the smart one, is going back. That was the grandfather, the great-grandfather, who was steeped in piety, and he kept the commandments, he kept the Jewish tradition. Then the second generation, the wicked one, is referring to when the Jews, when they came over to America, and basically they threw their religion away. They took their talis and tefillin, their prayer, and they threw it in the water. You know, we can't live like this in this modern era of America. So you have the wise son who's the grandfather, you have the son who's the wicked one, and then you have the third generation is the Tom, the simple child. The simple child is confused because he sees his grandfather steeped in piety, keeping Shabbos, making Kiddush Friday night, and his father is not doing anything. So he's very confused, the child, because he looks at his father, gets one message. He looks at his grandfather and gets another message. And the fourth child, that's She'eino Yodei Lishol, the one who can't even ask a question. In other words, that because he never met his grandfather. His grandfather's been dead. So all he knows is the father. He knows his new grandfather, not the old one. He just knows the wicked one. So therefore, he doesn't know anything about Judaism. In fact, when he was over and someone was lighting Shabbos candles, he asked, whose birthday is it? Because the only time I ever saw candles was at a birthday. He had no idea that you light candles, you know, before the Sabbath begins. So he says, the four generations, the four children represent the four generations. And in fact, we could point out that really, say what you want about any of the children, at least they're there. They showed up at the Seder, we're happy for that. Unfortunately, the fifth generation is slowly not showing up. So you could say what you want about the wicked one, the one who doesn't ask, but at least they're coming to the Passover Seder, reading the Haggadah. They're slowly moving into a generation that's not even, they don't even know they're Jewish, and they don't even come to the Passover Seder. So the Passover is all about giving it over to the next generation. The Gadata Levincha, that you teach your children, doesn't mean literally children, it could be your friends, family, anyone, you know, brothers, sisters, whoever you have, that you're giving over to them and other people in the community who you know, giving it over to the next generation. And that's why Passover always has the family dynamic. That's why, you know, her sister will be running the Seder, her and Jack in the SV2. So it always has a family. It goes back to biblical times. The Paschal lamb, it's the sacrifice everyone ate together. You ate together, you know, the family, the group, your friends, you all ate it beforehand. We know from biblical terms, we know also that's the concept we have. We do many things the night of the Seder to get the younger generation to ask. So we put the matzah away, we hide the afikomen, we want them to look for it, we dip, you know, the vegetables into salt water, we do a lot of different things to get the next generation to ask. So that's what they point out. The family component goes way back to biblical times. It's not just a new thing. We have new gimmicks at the Seder. It was always about, you know, the next generation. That's why Paro didn't want to let the kids go with them. Because he knew if you don't get the next generation involved, there'll be no one left to give it over. So that's what they point out to the four generations, and really we're moving into the fifth. In fact, someone will point out that really the four children are only one child. It's all one person. But we all know in life, we all go through different stages in life. You know, we all have moments of wisdom, hopefully more than moments, hopefully more than a moment or two. And we have moments of rebelliousness, you know, the wicked one, you know, we all rebel in our own way a little bit. And then we have our simple moments where we don't know, and then we have the ones that don't know. So that's what it's referring to more. It's one child, and it's not four different children, it's one. And each one goes through different stages of life. And that's what the four represents. In fact, the number of four comes up a lot in the Seder. We have the four children, we have the four cups, we have the four questions. What's significant about the number four? The what?
The patriarchs.
Right, we have the four, the four imahos, the four matriarchs and the three of us, yeah? What's so special about the number four? So the Vilna Gaon, one of the great rabbis from Vilna in Europe, he says, we have a concept in Judaism of, we make a blessing of thanksgiving. We make blessings all the time. But when a person is saved from a serious potential accident or something serious happened, you just had a surgery, you got out of jail, you crossed over a dangerous area, whatever the case is, there's a special blessing. So when do you make this blessing? So you make it when, if you just, you were sick and you had a serious illness and you got better, you got released from jail, you went over the sea, you crossed over the water, or you crossed over the desert. So he points out, that's what the Jewish people did. All these four things. Number one is, they were being tortured and punished by the Egyptians to recover from that illness, that they got out of jail, they got out of Egypt. Egypt was like a jail, it was all fenced in. And then they traveled through the water. That's on the seventh day of Passover that they split the sea and the Jewish people crossed over, you know, like in the movie. And then the fourth thing is they traveled in the desert. So these four things, it's just to remind that the night of Pesach, the night of Passover, is a night of blessing and thanksgiving, that we thank God for all the tremendous things that we do. In fact, interesting, what do we do? What prayer on the first day of Passover in the day, what do we do? What do we pray for? Where were you? You're going to be at your sister? I mean, your daughter. You'll be at your daughter or son, yeah. So what do we say on the first day of Passover? What do we, in the Musaf, what do we start adding? What would you say? Let's put it this way, we ask it differently. We stop praying for rain. So what do we start praying for? On Sukkot we have Tfilas Geshem, the prayer of rain. On Sukkot, on Passover, because that's the rainy season, you want it to rain between in the fall until now. But now you don't want it to rain because you need the things to go out. So Tfilas Tal, the prayer of dew. So you know D-E-W. So the thing that comes out. Things that comes out every morning. So what is the connection? Why are we praying for Tau on Pesach? Like, what's the connection between dew and Passover? So interesting, how many Jewish holidays do we have? Five biblical and two rabbinical. So I'll give you the answer, seven. Let's see if we can name them. The seven Jewish holidays, the seven major, I'm not counting Israel independence, I'm not talking about the real new ones, I'm saying the ones back, how many of the seven could you name? Maybe all of them, let's find out.
Pesach.
Shavuos.
Sukkot.
Yeah, those are the Shalosh Regalim, yeah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah and, what's after Rosh Hashanah?
Yom Kippur.
Yeah, so that's five. And what are the two rabbinical holidays?
It's Hanukkah counted.
You bet. Hanukkah, and we just had it. What was the last holiday we had? We came down here, we read Megillas Esther.
Purim.
Correct. Those are the seven holidays. So we have seven holidays. And so interesting, they point out in the Talmud, in the rabbis, that there are seven, what they call seven mashkin, seven important liquids that have some ramifications more for, then we have
blood.
Right. So dam, so the dalet is dam, and what is the mem? Mayim.
Water.
So they say these seven liquids correspond to the seven holidays. So let's go put them together. So yayin, what wine is related to what holiday? Obviously all of them, but what specifically? We have a special mitzvah to drink on this holiday, and especially wine. We just had it. We read Megillas Esther on that day.
Purim,
right. And then dvash, when do we have honey? We know Rosh Hashanah. Dip the apple in the honey and chalas. So next, then we have the shin shemen. When's the oil? What do we light with oil? Hanukkah. The Hanukkah menorah. And
how
then we
Shabbos. How does that fit in?
We know Shabbos isn't one of the holidays. That's a weekly thing, and the seven holidays not including Shabbos. So we're talking about the Yom Tovim. Shabbos is in its own category. And let's go see. So, Shemen, Ches. Oh, yeah. So, when do we have milk? Cheesecake. What holiday?
Shavuos.
Let's go. Shin, Ches. Tes. So, we have dew. As I said, it's Pesach. And then, when. So, blood's a tough one. When do we have blood? We don't actually ever have blood. But Yom Kippur, it says when you're fasting, so you lose some weight or something, and you lose some fat. So the concept is when you're fasting, it's like the fat you're losing, like you're putting on the altar. So it's kind of like...
You should have it once a week.
Exactly. Not a bad idea. It might be too much. So either way, so that's Yom Kippur. And then the last one is Mem, Mayim. What is water connected to? That's the holiday of Sukkot. Because Sukkot, that's when we pray for rain. And they had also the Simchas Beit in the temple. They had the water libations. But so the seven holidays represent these seven liquids. So we said dew is connected to Passover. So what's the link between dew and Passover? So we have to understand what is dew all about. So the Talmud tells us that rain. The rain, when the sun, where does the sun rise?
In the east.
And then it goes through the southern, it goes through the south, and then it sets where?
In the west.
Yeah. So the north doesn't get the sun. That's why, if you're building a home and you want to have sunlight, you make sure you tell them, you want the southern exposure. You want your windows on the southern side, because if you put them on the northern side, you're not going to get sun. They compare the three, the north. So the Gemara compares the northern winds to the dew, and the other ones, the west, east, and south, are compared to the rain. Because rain is water. Everyone appreciates water. I mean, especially today where everyone drinks water. But in general, if they shut off the hot water, for 5 minutes, you aren't happy. Certainly if you get it more here. But everyone, whether it's, back in the day, you had to go to the well, but they always appreciated water. But water is something which is obvious, and it's what to be thankful for. But dew is hidden. Every morning, it comes down in the middle of the night. You don't see it. Out here, we have it on the, if you walk out on the grass in the morning, it's wet. And if you live in the city, you wouldn't know what grass is. And maybe you find some on your window shield or something. But basically, dew is a hidden blessing. It helps that everything grow, but we don't notice it. So we're praying for dew. This is the blessing. We're thanking God for the hidden blessings. So why now? Because especially on Passover. Passover is a day of open miracles. We're talking about we got saved from the Egyptians, the killing of the firstborn. God takes us through the splitting of the Red Sea. The whole experience of the Exodus from Egypt was open, clear-cut miracles. So we appreciate the things we know, like the water. But human nature is you forget the hidden things, the things that happen every day quietly. Those are the things that need to get strengthened. In fact, that's why when we pray for Tal, we say it, Tain Tal, you know, we talk about thank you, God, for giving us we emphasize it more in the prayer for rain. We don't talk about it, because everyone knows the importance of water. And that's why, actually, we have in our Haggadah, so we have different parts of the Haggadah. So as they say, the only what the joke goes is the only book of contents that you actually sing when you get in. Since when do you sing the book of, you know, it gives you the itinerary. Kadesh Urchatz Karapas Yachatz Magid Raksa Motzi Matza Marar Korech Shulchan Orech Safun Korech Halil Nirza. So what's Safun?
North.
Right, but what does it mean here? And what does it mean in the context of the Seder? It's right after we eat the meal. What's the first thing we do after before we bench? We eat something. We eat the meal, then for dessert, besides our regular dessert, what we have, the Torah tells us to eat a dessert. What's that? You hide it during the meal. The afikoman.
Yes.
So, but what is it? Safun means hidden. Because why? Because the head of the house, you break off the matzah during, and then you hide it, and the kids, you know, everyone does it differently, whether you hide it, the kids hide it. But safun, it's hidden. So we see again the connection that that of Safun, that side, which means hidden, but the north side is hidden, and that's what we have to remember. In fact, like we point out, the Meir Simcha HaKohen from Divinsk, he points out that it says one who says Ashrei, that's one of the prayers we say in our davening. One who says Ashrei every day warrants reward in the world to come. Yet, the Talmud tells us, one who says Hallel every day, you say, pray, it's terrible, you're cursing out God. The question is, what do you mean? They both come from the book of Tehillim. They both come from the book of Psalms. So why is, if I say one of them I'm the greatest, and the other one I'm the worst? Because the answer is because, when do we say the prayer of Hallel, of praise? That's after a miracle happened. After a miracle happens, then I praise God. So they're saying, someone who only sees God when a miracle happened, you're missing the whole essence of God. Ashrei is in the form of A, B, C, D, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. If you see God on the everyday things, that's true greatness. And in fact, that's why it says, if you were an editor of a newspaper, and you had to put a headline, and you had two options. You could write either baby born today, have a picture of a baby born, or someone resurrected the dead today. If you're an editor of a newspaper, which headline are you going to run?
Babies.
You would?
Yeah.
Then you'd probably be out of business soon. So the point is, but you're right, you should put that one up. But I was any editor, they're going to put the resurrection. Why? Because that baby born, that happens all the time, every day, many times a day. But resurrection of the dead, that doesn't happen that often. So to us, it seems like a greater miracle. But really, it's a greater miracle a child's born. A child comes from a little drop, and they grow from nothing to something. Resurrection of the dead, the body's there, it's just getting the body to work again. So that's what they point out, that really it's a greater miracle, but that's a hidden blessing. The child, you know, we take it for granted today. You know, it's good that we have great modern technology, but back in the day, even though in Jewish law we consider childbirth a dangerous thing, and therefore obviously it doesn't make a difference. You get into your car, you desecrate Shabbos if you're giving, because we in halacha we take, but in the world, like you know, people don't view, like, someone's going for triple heart bypass, you know, even though today it's not like what it used to be, but, you know, it might be routine, but obviously you're a little concerned that you're not going to, at least if you don't want under the table, you're a little concerned. When it, so too, no, most people don't think it, that, oh, baby, woman's going to, okay, what's the baby's name? No one thinks, you know, is everyone, you know, that's not the first reaction. Of course, it still happens once in a while, but it's very rare. Those are the hidden blessings, like it says, when it talks about one of the great rabbis, he was during the Roman persecution, or one of the enemies' persecution, he said, the Romans said, no Torah study. You're not allowed to study Torah. So what happened was, there's one rabbi went to visit, one rabbi was sick, so another rabbi came to visit him and said, you know, how are you doing, this and that, and then the rabbi said to the rabbi who was sick, rebuked the other, said, what are you doing teaching the Bible publicly? You're going to get killed. Of course, teach the Bible, but do it privately. So he said to him, okay, could you give me a blessing? Like, give me, you know, the rabbi who went to visit the sick person, he asked for him a blessing from the rabbi who was sick. And he said, okay, well, tell me something you did in your life. And then I'll tell you, you know what, one thing I did in my life? It was Purim time, and I was putting money away. I was putting a couple of dollars away from Matanas Lev Yonim for gifts to the poor. And you know what? I wasn't sure. I had a $5 bill here and a $10 bill. You know what? I just gave it all. So he said, well, you did that. May my lot be like your lot. I want the rewards. The question is, like, what are you talking about? This guy risked his life to teach Torah. So why didn't he give that example? He gives a seemingly trivial thing, like big deal. The answer is no. That true greatness of character is only on the little things when people aren't watching. It's the hidden blessings. And that's why the Afikomen, when we're talking about nights of miracles, we call it Safon, the nor hidden. Because we also have to remember we're sitting at the table, you know, with family and friends, and we can't forget the hidden blessings that we're alive. I woke up this morning, I'm alive, or as it says in chapters of Our Fathers, who is the wealthy person? It says the one who is happy with a lot. But the rabbis say, what do the letters of rich mean? Ashir. So, ayin, someone who has eyes. Shin, someone who has a mouth, is the shin. Yud is someone who has hands. And resh is raglayin, someone who has legs. Who's the wealthy person? The one who's healthy. The one who has legs, arms, and you could speak, and you have eyes. That's, you know, that's the wealthy. It's the things we take for granted. It's human nature to take things for granted. And unfortunately, a lot of times we don't appreciate things until we don't have them anymore. So that's the goal here of Pesach, even though we're involved in all the tremendous miracles, but we can't forget the hidden blessings, the everyday things, our family, friends, and everyone else, all the little things we have, you know, on the daily show. And that's why we read the prayer of Du. You would think you would read about something you'd want to talk about supernatural things, but no, we need a reminder because we're surrounded by miracles. We have to remember the little things, and those are the things that keep us going, and that's what we do. We pray God on the dew that we don't even notice every morning that comes down in the middle of the night while everybody is sleeping. Any questions, comments, alternative